So many options, so many opportunities, and while the opportunities are wonderful, the fact is, my friend, you shouldn't take every opportunity. Only the God opportunity, not just the good opportunity.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a recent Sunday here at Pace Assembly. This message is entitled, A Place Prepared. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
We can take a lesson in knowing God from the small dinner time prayer of a child to know God. That God is great and God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. So thank you, Lord, for your daily bread. It makes no difference if it's raining outside, God is still good inside. It makes no difference if the storms of life have kicked up around me, it makes no difference when I pray, God, you're still good and you're still great. In this very unstable world that we're in, we need a great God. Not just one of many, but the one and only true and living God. And when God says, have faith in God, when God says in John 14, believe me, He's not asking you for your consideration. It is a command. Believe me. If you don't command your believer, then you'll believe anything. If you don't command your faith in a certain direction, then anything that passes by, you'll toss your hat in the ring with it. But when you believe Him, you don't trust your feelings, because feelings will leave you up and down. Can I hear a good amen? Some of you say, well, I'm feeling something good in here. I don't care whether you feel it or not, God is still good and God is still great. When you get that embedded inside of your soul, you begin to understand that God is who He says He is, and me knowing Him is vital to being able to trust Him into the future. You don't trust someone you don't know. And I realize that many of you would say, I already know this story, Pastor, I kind of know it, but in the remote possibility that we may not have extracted everything from this scripture that we need to learn, I want you to consider that the one who is saying to the disciples in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled, is the omniscient God, the all-knowing God. He is the omnipresent God, the one who is always present, no boundaries for God. He is a holy God, which is the highest form above all other created beings. It refers to His moral purity. He is holy. He's a faithful God. Anybody know Him as being a faithful God? He's a faithful God. In other words, when God says something, He will bring it to pass. He guarantees it no matter what the circumstances are. God is love. He doesn't do love. He is love. That's the only way He can be. Meaning that He means here by God is love, to describe the attribute of God, is that He holds the well-being of others as His primary concern. And He didn't just say He loves us, but He did it by performing the ultimate act of love and sacrifice by giving His life on the cross. In other words, I don't give you 2 cents for somebody who says they love me, but they never do anything with an act of love. In other words, while we're in here, you say, I love you, Lord, when you're driving down the road. But when it comes into worship, where is it? God is waiting to hear our voice to reciprocate, because If you knew what was hanging over your head in the blessings of the Lord right now, and that your praise is the key to unlock the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive, I guarantee I would not even probably be able to preach in here this morning if you really understood and you really knew that God is love and that there's nothing that will change that in His mind. God is merciful. God is immutable. Means He cannot lie. He is all powerful. And it is that God who sits with His disciples, who has now set His face at the end in the very late hour, before He had time to raise the dead and to heal the sick and open blinded eyes. But now all that is behind Him. And you know, like I know, that whenever the hour is late, the Bible says that this hour was coming and now is. Whenever you get to that point, that there's some things that matter and some things that don't. In other words, the drama that I dealt with a few years ago, I don't have time to deal with that anymore because it is late. I'm getting late. I'm getting older. I'm getting close to the cross, Jesus is saying. And while I love everybody, I'm not staying here. I have set my face towards the cross, and there's no turning back. And so there's some things that I have time for and some things I don't. So when Jesus says to His disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't get all messed up. I'm trying to tell you that you're going to face some things in the days ahead that's going to test your faith. And it's going to prove, and some of you are going to succeed, and some of you are going to fail miserably. And of course, Jesus, knowing everything, He had already read their Gmail, their email, their whatever you want to call it. And they had every reason to be anxious at this moment because Jesus, over the past several days, had ramped up His discussion about the fact that I'm about to leave you. And He even began to describe to them, I'm going to go to the cross and they're going to beat me. And they're going to spit on me and they're going to pull my beard and they're going to do everything. They're going to kill me and hang me out on a cross out there. And none of them wanted to hear that. In fact, some had already begun to plot so that they could take an overthrow of the government. But Jesus said, that's not my plan. You don't even know what spirit you're of. I've got a plan not just for you disciples sitting around this table and not just for Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea. I have a plan for all those people that are going to go to church on July the 15th, 2018, for the one that is waiting to give their life to the Lord. I'm going to go to the cross and perpetuate my healing, my deliverance, my salvation into the year 2018 because I'm a long-suffering God too. They had every reason to be nervous. They had every reason to be troubled in their spirit. And just examining what had happened within the previous few hours in Luke 22 records the divisiveness, the divisiveness of the disciples. Because right here, when they needed to be focused upon what Jesus was doing and where He was going, they had the disciples bickering at that moment, saying, listen, Jesus. And even their mother got involved, said, listen, Jesus, is it okay because my sons are really being close to You? Which one can sit on the right hand and which one is on the left? He said, you don't even know what you're talking about. They had every reason to be anxious because Jesus said, one of you 12 is going to betray Me. And by the time we get to John 14, Judas has already allowed the spirit of the devil to get, listen. Jesus is standing there next to Judas. Judas saw the healings. He saw the miracles. He saw the signs and the wonders. And he turned around with his own agenda and said, I'm going to sell Him out. And he betrayed the master with all the evidence laying in front of him. And betrayal took place. They have every reason to be nervous. And then Jesus speaks up and tells them, listen, I'm about to leave. And in the book of John 13, He said, I'm about to separate from y'all. And that's not good for them because everything is hanging on them. And you know, here's the deal. I have real issue with someone who walks with Me. And I feel like Jesus probably would have this issue as well. It's very obvious when you read in the text because time time and again, he's telling them what's going to happen and what's going on, and they're not following him. They're not getting it, and so they're bickering with each other. And he said, what's wrong with you? In fact, the business, he takes them into the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes a little bit further to pray, and he gets up, and he comes back and says, don't you even understand what hour it is? I'm about to be crucified. I told you that. Can you not tarry with me at least 1 hour? Can't you stay awake for 1 hour? There's every reason for him to be anxious. Because right at the closing, Peter, the strongest one perhaps among them, at least strong-willed, looked up at Jesus in his face and said, Master, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to go with you all the way. And Jesus said, no, you're not. Even you, my friend, even you are going to deny me 3 times. They had every reason to be anxious. But you know, because Jesus loves us, he knows everything about us, and he still loves us. I'm going to try that on again. He knows everything about you, and he looks past all of that to make sure that there's still a door open to get to him. The loss of focus is what took place here with the disciples. They left their calling because they started getting distracted by their own agenda. Is anybody listening to this morning? And Jesus seized their attention, and he said to them, let not, don't allow your heart to lose confidence in me. You must stay focused in this late hour with your faith, because you're going to have iPhones and cars and houses and land and deals and all kind of stuff going on, vacations and everything else. But whatever you do, don't let your confidence and your faith drop in me now, because we are too close. It's too late. God's plans are not always revealed in details. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? You believe in God. Believe also in me. Understand, believing is a command. He said, you must have faith in me, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to give you 3 things quickly this morning. Jesus said, believe me in your transitions. When things are changing places, when the seasons are changing, don't stop believing. You must believe me in your transitions. Transitions. Changing places. I asked the choir the other night, how many of you like change? And I heard them say, well, yes, but no. Everybody likes change to come. And if it's a good season, everything's going great and all of that, then our faith is high. In fact, to the business, some people will even gamble with it a little bit, and they'll go do a little drift, a little off course, but it's okay. It's a good season I'm in. But they don't realize that their faith is on trial in the good season. Because as much as you want to be able to stay in the season, how many of you like summer? Let me see your hand right now. Some of you are saying, not now. It's 150 degrees out there. How many of you like spring? How many of you like spring? How many of you like fall? How many of you could stay in fall? You just stay in fall. You know what I'm talking about? All the guys are lifting their hands saying, yeah, hunting season. I'm on with that. Anybody like winter? Look, there's a few of you crazy people that like winter. But you know what? God established the seasons, the changing of times and seasons, for our good. He don't care whether it's cold outside or hot outside, because he's an eternal God. He's not in time. But you need to understand, 2 things are constant inside of this world that we're living in: time and change. Time and change. You will not stop time, and you will not stop change. Transitions are going to happen. Seasons are going to come and go. And it's necessary for you to have different seasons if you're going to grow. For the tree that is planted in your yard that you want fruit from, it becomes necessary for that tree to go through a winter and a spring and a summer and a fall. Because if you don't, it will be stagnant. It will not produce what it needs to. And then makes no difference what the little placard says and the little fruit that's on the card that's telling you what this tree is. If it never produces anything, it is good for nothing.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.